Let's get one thing straight. I was the perfect man for this case. You'd be amazed how many of the lads would have run a mile given the choice. And I had a choice, at least at the start. A couple of them said it to my face. Sooner you than me, man. It didn't bother me. Not for a second. All I felt was sorry for them. Some of them aren't wild about the high-profile gigs. The high-stakes ones. Too much media crap, they say. And too much fallout if you don't get a solve. I don't do that kind of negativity. If you put your energy into thinking about how much the fall would hurt, you're already halfway down. I focus on the positive, and there's plenty of positive there. You can pretend you're above this stuff, but everyone knows the big cases are the ones that bring the big promotions. Give me the headline grabbers and you can keep your drug dealer stabbings. If you can't take the heat, stay in uniform. Some of the lads can't handle kids, which would be fair enough, except that, forgive me for asking, if you can't cope with nasty murders, then what the hell are you doing in the murder squad? I bet intellectual property rights would love to have your sensitive arse on board. I've handled babies, drownings, rape murders, and a shotgun decapitation that left lumps of brain crusted all over the walls, and I sleep just fine, as long as the job gets done. Someone has to do it. If that's me, then at least it's getting done right. Because let's get another thing clear while we're at it. I am bloody good at my job. I still believe that. I've been on the murder squad for 10 years, and for 7 of those, ever since I found my feet, I've had the highest solve rate in the place. This year I'm down to 2nd. But the top guy got a run of slam dunks. Domestics where the suspect practically slapped the cuffs on his own wrists and served himself up on a plate with applesauce. I pull the tough ones, the nobody-seen-nothing junkie-on-junkie drudgery, and I still scored. If our superintendent had had one doubt, one single doubt, he could have pulled me off the case any time he wanted. He never did. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. This case should have gone like clockwork. It should have ended up in the textbooks as a shining example of how to get everything right. By every rule in the book, this should have been the dream case. The second it hit the floor, I knew from the sound that it was a big one. All of us did. Your basic murder comes straight to the squad room and goes to whoever's next in the rota, or if he's out, to whoever happens to be around. Only the big ones, the sensitive ones that need the right pair of hands, go through the super so he can pick his man. So when Superintendent O'Kelly stuck his head around the door of the squad room, pointed at me, snapped, "Kennedy, my office," and vanished, we knew. I flipped my jacket off the back of my chair and pulled it on. My heartbeat had picked up. It had been a long time, too long, since one of these had come my way. "Don't go anywhere," I said to Richie, my partner. "Ooh," Quigley called from his desk, mock horrified, shaking a pudgy hand. "Is Scorcher in the shit again? I never thought we'd see the day."
"Feast your eyes, old son." I made sure my tie was straight.
Quigley was being a little bitch because he was next up in the rota. If he hadn't been a waste of space, O'Kelly might have let the case go to him. "What have you done?"
"Shagged your sister. I brought my own paper bags." The lad snickered, which made Quigley purse up his lips like an old woman.
"That's not funny."
"Too close to the bone."
Richie was open-mouthed and practically hopping off his chair with curiosity. I flipped my comb out of my pocket and gave it a quick run through my hair.
"Am I good?"
"Lick arse,"
Quigley said through his sulk. I ignored him.
"Yeah," Richie said. "You're grand." "What?"
"Don't go anywhere," I repeated, and went after O'Kelly.
My second hint, he was up behind his desk, with his hands in his trouser pockets, rolling up and down on the balls of his feet. This case had pumped up his adrenaline enough that he wouldn't fit in his chair. "You took your time."
"Sorry, sir."
He stayed where he was, sucking his teeth and rereading the call sheet on his desk.
How's the Mullen file coming along?